I don't want to set the world on fire.
Hi, Steven. I bamboozled you into talking about a thing again.
Bamboozled. You had to propose it, and I was all over it.
I remember twisting your arm and being like, no, Steven, we got to talk about this, no matter how much you hate talking about things like this.
Oh, man. Especially things I really like and have enjoyed for, 15 years. It's hard to muster up the energy for it, but I'll try.
All right. Well, what is it that you have been enjoying for 15 years that we're going to be talking about now?
I started with Fallout 3, so whenever that came out. But yeah, we're talking the Fallout TV show.
Okay, that was probably less than 15 years ago.
Oh, man.
I know. If we're both typing in, who can get it first?
October 28th, 2008.
2008.
16
Jesus.
Years ago. Jeep.
That's not appropriate.
These things keep happening to me, man.
God damn it. I was thinking when you said 15 years ago, I was like, huh, Fallout 1 came out 15 years ago? It's closer to 20.
I think Fallout 1 came out like 96, didn't it?
It did, yes, something like that. It was the mid-90s.
Oh, man.
It was so good. When they started playing the I don't want to set the world on fire, that's the theme from Fallout 1.
And it's been it was definitely in the trailer for Fallout 3 as well.
Okay, great.
Anyway.
Yeah,
so yeah, I've seen the whole series. I made an effort to not watch it all at once. I feel like it was a mark against the, I don't know, whoever calls the shots on these things to put them all out at once.
Yeah,
if they'd done it one week at a time, we'd be talking about the show for 2 months. But as it is, we had to pace ourselves, and I think we made it last like 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. I have only seen the first 2 episodes, and we're only going to be talking about the first one today, so we're doing like a reverse thing where you've seen the whole thing and I have not.
Yeah, but I won't spoil anything, and we're going to, you'll just have to remind me what happens, at the beginning and end of each episode, but I'm pretty sure I remember this one, so.
Oh, shit. We could call it Fallout in 15, because all these episodes are going to be 15 minutes or less, yeah?
We'll try.
All right. We're probably going to go over 15 on all of them, but we'll call it Fallout in 15 anyway, just to, I don't know, aspirational name.
We'll see about that.
Okay.
So.
Right.
Couple things to get us started. The writer and producer and director of the show, Jonathan Nolan. If this show felt at all familiar, it's because he also did Westworld. I'm trying to think of a couple other things he did here. I'm just skimming through now his IMDb page. He helped with the screenplay for Dark Knight Rises and Dark Knight. And The Prestige, he was uncredited on Hey Ash, What You Playin', starring Ashley Birch. It was a YouTube series back in, 2008.
All right, if he worked on Dark Knight Rises and the other Nolan flick, and his last name is Nolan, is this guy related to the Christopher Nolan?
Oh.
Because he said Prestige and Dark Knight Rises, and as soon as you had said Prestige, I was like, oh my god, that's one of the best
brother.
Nolan films. Hey, there we go.
That explains it. And I'm glad to see that he's just an awesome fucking nerd. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And luckily he doesn't share Chris Nolan's propensity towards bad sound mixing.
Oh, he does or doesn't?
Does not. I mean, you saw 2 episodes. You could understand most of the words, right?
I could understand just about every one. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
All right.
I was like, oh no, does it get worse later? But no, okay.
No, it stays great. Well, let's dive in. So what do you want to talk about, man?
Okay, so I don't know. The first episode I thought was just a really good, like, setting up the world and the story that we're gonna get episode. We got introduced to all three characters, and do you want to just start with them in order with Lucy?
Did you notice how it did it kind of like Good, the Bad, and the Ugly style, where we see them on screen, then we get like the title of their, like, we get their name over screen?
I didn't realize that was the Good, the Bad, and Ugly thing, but I did notice that.
I think they referenced the Good, the Bad, and Ugly a few times in Fallout 2 as well.
Okay.
But yeah, and I'm not sure, but I'm guessing the good is Lucy, the bad is Maximus, and the ugly is the ghoul.
I mean, the ghoul is definitely ugly. I don't want to get into who's good, bad, and ugly yet, because that would be spoilers for episode 2,
in my opinion. But I mean, as of episode 1.
As of episode 1, I would say that they're all good.
Oh, that's good. Was the ghoul in episode 1? He must have been.
The ghoul is in episode 1, yeah. But we only see him really briefly. They dig him out of the grave, and then he kills those guys.
Okay.
And I felt like maybe he didn't need to kill those guys. But on the other hand, like, they obviously were bad dudes. And he's probably just covering his bases. He's like, yeah, they're going to kill me or something. And eventually, anyway, they're going to make me do horrible stuff. I'm just going to kill him right now while I got the drop on him.
Smart. Also, it's not clear who put him in that box. But if they knew where the
Don
box
Carlos,
was.
Right?
What was that?
it was Don Carlos or Don someone. It sounded like a bad guy. Well, I mean, because he put a human in a box and digs him up once a year to cut pieces off of him. Like, oh, man. Obviously, he was not put in a box by a good person.
No, totally. I was just thinking that, yeah, anyone who unearthed me and I got a chance to get out of the box forever, yeah, if I was him, I'd probably do the same thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, so the show opens with Lucy kind of giving her, I'm going to just nerd out for a second about all the awesome video game shit this did.
Yes.
She's describing her character build. At the beginning, when she's like saying why she's a good candidate to have babies for the vault. Mm-hmm. Stim packs make the exact same noise. One of the mm-hmm. raiders takes Jet.
Yes.
Trying to think of a couple of other things, but it's filled with little Easter eggs for people who've enjoyed the games and stuff.
I really loved how they got the visual aesthetic right, I feel. I don't know if this really carries through to Fallout 3, because Fallout 3 is more like kind of everything is washed in the brown haze that they had during that era of video games.
And but Fallout New Vegas was all brown, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But certainly in Fallout 1 and 2, it was very much almost like a Sunday newspaper cartoon sort of art style with big, bold black outlines mm-hmm. and just really bold, solid colors in the fill-ins. Like it felt like a comic strip, kind of. And it felt like they somehow managed to do that IRL by just having bold, single shade, especially in the vault. Everywhere. It looked perfect. I was like, this is the best thing. And they right away get across at the very beginning segment that is in the pre-nuclear, just by a few hours, that this is the future as imagined by the 1950s. And I love that. Like, just a few seconds of looking at it on screen, you're like, oh yeah, this is the 1950s, except it's, if the 1950s were in the future. It was perfect.
Yeah, I think, and I forget the exact years, but I think, the nukes fell in 2077 or something, right?
I don't remember.
But it's definitely well after the 50s. They've got like crazy mm-hmm. 50s nostalgia as the thing.
I mean, it could be nostalgia. I just always, the way it was first described to me for Fallout 1 was that, like, imagine the way people thought the 50s were. And, well, imagine the way the people in the 50s thought the future would look like. So this is science fiction written in the 50s, right? And yeah, now it's the 90s. We know that's not really what the future looked like. But pretend this is science fiction written in the 50s, but then a nuclear war happened. And it was just such a neat take on a world.
Oh, yeah. All that part checks out. I was just thinking, like, the timeline of the show. But yeah, as far as the aesthetic, yeah, it's all 50s vibe. It's great. And you're right. Like, the vault has all, it's vibrantly colored. Everyone has kind of like this just, it's not even off-putting, just this wonderfully kind of chipper attitude.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that it. No matter how boring your job is, you're contributing to the community.
Right.
And
they're going to go back and like help save the human race and repopulate the earth. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I love how both community minded and optimistic everyone in the vault is. They're so great.
Yeah, I agree. Then the surface kind of hits us with like what the games look like, where it's like, hey, various shades of brown and everything's covered in dirt.
Yes.
And the set design is perfect.
Yeah.
Everything that they did to put the show together, and right down to the costumes, the attitudes and the atmospheres. I mean, like I'm trying to think of where she goes in episode one. She doesn't go anywhere, right? She's just leaving.
She just exits.
That's right. Yeah. But either way. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite parts, a joke that me and, because I'm watching this with Jennifer, a joke that me and Jennifer kept coming back to was cousin stuff.
Right.
Because she's talking with her friend about like, yeah, you just do cousin stuff with your cousin. But then she gets, first of all, hilarious on its own right. But then like she gets this handsome, just, I don't know if he's handsome. It's hard to tell for me as a dude, but certainly well physiqued guy for a husband. And he drops his clothes. And she's like, oh, rock on. I think, doesn't she actually say okie dokie?
She says okie dokie. Yeah.
Awesome. And she jumps him and like goes at it like someone who's been fucking for a while. And Jen was like, what did they get up to with cousin stuff?
I think they did everything but procreative sex.
I guess if they pulled out or something.
You got to think you're basically related to almost everybody in your vault. There's only mm-hmm. a couple hundred people, right?
Yeah.
So,
and after how many, it's been 120 years or something?
I think a couple hundred.
A couple hundred years. Yeah, that's, you're related to everybody.
Yeah. So, you know, someone has to address the fact that everyone's fucking their cousins in these vaults, and it's about time someone did. So
I thought it was interesting that the two vaults were connected. I was curious, like, how many vaults this network extended to, because none of the video games ever had vaults connected.
Yes, I noticed that as well. And I had the same question. I don't know what else to add other than the fact that I assume that this is, you know, part of some nefarious bullshit. Because every vault, unless I'm missing any, I'm pretty sure they all had some fucked up experiment to varying degrees of fucked up.
There was one control vault.
One control vault out of at least 111.
Yes.
Great. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with all the vaults. But, it was interesting, too, because they come in. And they don't recognize anybody, you know, apparently, right? So, like, they share a wall or share a door, but they never correspond face-to-face.
It seemed like it was a big deal. They certainly didn't do it all the time. Maybe once a year, maybe once every 10 years. But the fact that they didn't recognize anyone at all, that was a little strange.
Makes me think that it must be longer than once a year between door openings.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Because otherwise, like, hey, where's Greg? Or Gary,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Gary was the guy that was the clone, and he had his own vault.
Oh, okay.
And he just went insane and he's running around yelling, Gary, all the time.
So much fun lore in this game.
So much fun.
I really like the reveal when they're all eating and, like, you know something's going to go wrong. And, like, her brother's wandering off to go back to the vault, and it, like, pans behind the people sitting at the table. And this one dude just has all these jacked up scars on the back of his head.
Yeah.
And, like, then it clicks me. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, something seems off kind of from the beginning, but it's like, well, maybe it's just because this is a weird situation, you know, like an arranged marriage with a stranger. But yeah, then they're not eating like in a sophisticated way. And if I remember correctly, I've only seen each episode.
Yeah, they
once.
Like spear the vegetables off the neighbor's plate or something with their knife.
Yeah, at the very least, they're not doing, you know, like the polite Midwestern, you know, cut with a fork or you cut with a knife and, you know, eat bite-sized pieces or whatever. I vaguely remember them eating more like... Like they're not used to eating well-cooked food. And then, yeah, it turns out the vault visitors are all raiders and just go through rampaging everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Welcome to the wasteland.
It was like just a good, shocking introduction, I think, that rampage. And really introduced us to the ultraviolence, I guess, the cartoonish ultraviolence of the Fallout series, which I enjoyed.
Yes, well put. I wanted to mention the cartoonish violence because I know somebody who stopped watching because it was a little gratuitous and like gore just isn't their thing. And I'm like, yeah, but it's deliberately over the top.
Yeah, he puts a gun in a guy's mouth and shoots through the back of his head to kill two other people behind him.
Well, and like just like blood explodes everywhere, you know, and not to lean too much on the games, but I'm not going to be able to help myself. You know, like there's a perk in one or two of them where headshots do extra damage and there's like a 10% chance it'll cause their head to explode.
Do they in the later games, do they have the Bloody Mess perk?
That's the one. Yeah. Bloody Mess. That must
okay.
Be it. Yeah.
In Fallout, what? Cause if you do a crit and do a lot of more damage than the hit points people have left, they will explode like in a super messy cartoonish way. The perk Bloody Mess will make sure that anyone you kill, regardless of even if you only killed them by like one hit point overkill, will explode in that way. And there's a really cool actual in-game effect that the perk has in Fallout 1. Is it okay to give spoilers for this?
For Fallout 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the game's passed the statute of limitations.
It's like 25 years old.
I don't think anyone has anything capable of playing that game anymore. So,
No, people still have computers. You can play it on a computer.
Yeah, you're right. I could probably play it on like my phone if I could just get my phone to do it. Yeah, it doesn't need that much power to play it. Anyway, I'll play Fallout 1 of these days. So yeah, give me a spoiler.
Okay, so you are sent out of the vault to find a water chip. Eventually, at the end of the game, you come back with the water chip and the vault is saved because now people can purify water again. And the overseer of the vault at the end of the game says, you have been out too long, you have changed too much and seen too much. If you stay here, the knowledge and the customs you bring back will destroy our society. I am exiling you from the vault forever. And he does this like, you know, he pulls you aside, takes you to the outside of the vault and tells you this and then closes the door. And the game ends with you like wandering off into the wasteland alone again because you've been exiled for saving your people too good.
Wow.
Yeah, if you take the Bloody Mess perk, the same thing happens, except at the very end, your guy pulls out his gun and shoots the overseer, and he explodes in a bloody mess.
That's outstanding.
And tries to drag half his body back to the door before it closes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show also takes on the tradition of dead moms and missing dads.
Yes.
So that was at least in Fallout 3. I guess Fallout 4 didn't really have that. You're just the courier, Fallout New Vegas didn't have that. And then Fallout 4, you got to pick, and that was when your kid gets stolen, when you're in cryopreservation. Fallout 3 was Liam Neeson was the dad, and he goes off. I think it was also a water-related mission. And then you're like, well, I want to go find, you know, Liam Neeson. So that's the plot of that game.
It's the opposite of Taken.
Yeah. It's looking.
Yeah. All right. I have two more things about the Vault Lucy section before we jump on to the next peoples.
Oh, yeah. We've got to talk about, briefly anyway, Maximus. And I know the ghoul was only barely in it, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. When she is leaving at the end, there was... It felt like meta knowledge because she gathers up her cousin boyfriend and her younger brother, and Jen is like, when things are starting to coalesce, like she says, thinking I got to do the thing. Jen is like, oh, she's totally going to take her brother and her boyfriend, and they're all going to go out there alone. And I was like, that is a really good insight. Actually, you are very trope savvy, but I have inside knowledge. The vault dweller always leaves solo, and so it's going to be just her. And it was kind of fun having like inside video game knowledge. Like vault dweller always goes out alone, so she's going to go without them.
Yeah, the lone wanderer. It's the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I like it. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yes. I had coworkers who were watching this who had never played the games, and they also enjoyed it. And my wife was like in this nice middle spot where she saw me play them a little bit back in the day, but then I would either briefly interject or pause and give like kind of a medium length interjection about, you know, oh, check this out or whatever. You know, like when the stim pack went off and I was like, oh, that's the stim pack noise. That's that just raises your HP. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the hell your problem is. You just feel better. And that's exactly how the thing works in the show.
Right.
Yeah.
She was like hit to the gut with a knife. No big deal. I got a stim pack.
Exactly.
Okay. The other thing I was going to say was the only time they had kids at all was during the I teach English history scene, right? Where they showed some kids in a classroom.
Yes, I think so.
That felt really weird to me because as like, I'm actually looking around in the real world and seeing the whole demographic collapse thing happening and realizing that more and more children are just disappearing from public life. I looked around, especially like during the massacre scene. I would imagine this is a wedding. Children are at weddings. You bring your kids to those things. And I would imagine like kids go run off screaming, hide behind stuff. So you don't have any child fatalities on screen because that's fucked up. But like they didn't have children there at all, which is what caught my eye. I was like, huh, they were really trying to avoid the violence against children thing. And then I realized there were no children at any point anywhere in the vault, like in the halls before, after. The only time we saw kids was that brief snippet in the classroom. So at first I was going to say, this is a cool, interesting meta director trick to show us the vault is dying. They do not have any young generations anymore. This is probably going to be the last generation because you can't breed people that quickly. And then I was like, but hold on a second. They showed us kids in the classroom. So he's probably not trying to say that. What is going on here? Is it just that child actors are too hard to work with? Is it because modern day people are allergic to seeing children on screen? Like what's going on here? It should be literally half their population should be children.
Put on your video game hat, specifically your Fallout hat.
Okay.
The answer to this is present for the same reason you never see kids in the games.
You see kids in the games in Fallout 1 and 2, unless you're playing the European edition.
I see. Well, at least in Fallout 3 and New Vegas, I think there's some kids in Fallout 4, but the main reason there aren't kids is because you can kill anyone you want.
See, that's the reason they were taken out of the European version of Fallout 1 and 2, because you can kill anyone, and in Europe that was literally illegal to have games where you can kill children, so they're just like, all right, guess we're deleting the child assets. They did that for the US versions of Fallout 3 and 4?
I mean, so let's see, there is Camp Lamplight in one of the games. It's like this, it's not a vault, it's some cave-dwelling group of people where they're all kids. But I think there must be essential NPCs. You can't kill them, okay. As far as I remember. It's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure you can't kill the kids.
I'm not sure how I feel about this because I was so annoyed by how fucking dumb the Europeans are. I'm like, they're sprites in a 3D isometric game. Like, what's the big deal? If you want to play an evil person, sometimes evil people kill children, you know?
Yeah.
But it does feel a little different when it's a first-person shooter.
I agree with the sentiment, but in general, I think if, like, you know, we had to draw any concessions to make people happy enough to let these games come out. Because remember, like, people were freaked out about games like Mortal Kombat, you know,
yeah,
where it's like, these are, you know, the characters are like 17 triangles. Like, you can't even see that they're people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the most low-res shit ever, but, oh, it's so brutal and violent and blah, blah, blah. If we had to throw them a bone and the bone was, okay, fine, no child murders, I'm kind of okay giving them that. But, yeah, I feel like the way they could have handled that with the European editions is just give the kids unlimited HP, but I guess they just removed them, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way.
I guess that makes sense if there's no kids in the video game and they're staying true to the video game aesthetic. That's why you wouldn't see kids.
That was my thinking anyway.
Okay.
But we do get some time with Maximus in this episode, right?
We do. He gets introduced and then his friend gets the razor blade in the boot and he takes over her position and gets branded by Titus. And takes off towards their jumps in the not helicopter. What do you call those vertical takeoff landing things that they got?
Vertibirds.
Yeah, it takes off in the vertibird.
And we briefly see the Pridwin. They're like giant blimp. Is like their floating helicarrier thing. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, the Brotherhood. I'm so glad they're getting a central light in this show because they're so fucking cool.
Oh, the Brotherhood is badass, dude.
And the suits are real that they made for the show. I mean, they're whatever. Plastic and stuff, but there were real people inside those things. They weren't just CGI'd or anything.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I'd love that they did that.
Yeah, the costuming and everything, they put a lot of work into.
All right, so vibe check. Brotherhood of Steel. I mean, I guess we both know that they're awesome, but if you hadn't seen this beforehand and you had like seen the Brotherhood of Steel just watching episode one, you would be like, what would you think?
I think you'd just be confused. Their whole mission, and it is kind of silly, is collect old world tech so no one else can have it, basically, and keep the peace. But
yeah,
you know, the reason they have scribes and I forget like the knowledge faction of the Brotherhood, but
you don't really learn that in episode one.
What do you learn about them? Just that they're this badass military group then?
Basically, yeah, that they're here to provide structure and to save, you know, kids who are in the middle of massacres and keep the peace. They're like old Knight Templar orders.
Yeah, that's a good point. And like they have all the fun ceremonies and stuff too.
Yeah,
I like that they keep the ritual. You know, ritual is an important part of human life, and they lean heavily into that.
Yeah, I really like that they provide like structure and guidance for orphaned kids orphaned boys specifically, who wouldn't have like really anywhere else to go or anything to do, and that they do try to save people.
But yeah, anyway. So yeah, he gets paired off with Titus. That's right. And he's got that like comically oversized kit bag.
Yes.
Which God knows what he has in there. You could fit a whole person in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a backup suit.
Right.
It's like you have to carry around my backup suit, but you can't put it on. The reason I asked about the Brotherhood of Steel is because I think they're awesome. I mean, they're not great because everything in the Fallout universe is not great, but like ultimately. That's just, I think that's a thing I would like to see in a post-apocalyptic world. And when he was kneeling before them and getting his brand and just like going through this awesome initiation ceremony, Jennifer closed her eyes and looked away because she's not like into the whole violent things. And she said like this whole Brotherhood of Steel thing is just so boy. And she means it like in a good way. Like sometimes she says boy, sometimes she says man, sometimes she says male, whatever. But she's really into the aesthetic of masculine stuff and she loves it, and like her comment that is so boy, like I never thought of it that way before, but it's absolutely true. Like this is totally a thing for men to help men and give them guidance, and I found that perspective interesting.
Yeah, I think she mentioned something, there's something like that on the episode we did with her about Camp Dork Around, but I can't remember if it was on that episode or something else that she mentioned something about that aesthetic, and she's spot on, especially with this. Like, you know, for me, it's just there's a button that, you know, there's a happy button in my head when I see power armor, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if everyone has that, but that does seem like it is hyper masculine, right? It gives them these crazy deep voices. They're 7.5 feet tall and they can, you know, punch through walls. Like it's like 300 on steroids.
Yeah. And even if they didn't have that, just the order itself and the initiation rituals, it's the whole thing just feels like a good masculine template. Archetype.
Yeah. Minus some of the, I mean, they do some of the stuff wrong, which, you know, again, everyone does in the Fallout universe, but they're definitely trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we get introduced to him and the Brotherhood of Steel, and they're going to be looking for something out in the wastelands. And then shall we talk about the ghoul?
Yeah. He's only on screen for a minute, right?
Well, he's also on screen for the first like 3-4 minutes before the bombs go off.
Yeah, yeah. As I mean, I forget the guy. Cooper, I think, is his last name.
Okay.
So yeah, we can differentiate between Cooper and the ghoul.
Can we? Should we?
I think so. I mean, we saw him as a loving father. You know, clearly something was going on with the family or something when the bombs fell, but he was not the borderline psychopathic disregard for human life gunslinger that he was when he's, you know, 200 years later in the ghoul, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's like an episode 2 spoiler. And
wait, doesn't he kill the guys at the end of episode 1?
He does, but you know, this is the Fallout universe and they seem like bad dudes. They sound, looks like they work for some kind of drug cartel or some kind of evil person. And I assumed that he knew these guys or knew of their boss or something and did not want to have any part of them.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, we can leave that in because unless you want me to chop it, I don't know if anyone's going to watch along, you know, week to week with this, but, so yeah, I guess at the end of season, or at the end of episode 1, he's plausibly just a misunderstood monster looking dude.
That was my idea. I was like, oh, this is so cool. They're going to go with like, you can still have, you can still relate with a person who's horribly disfigured. That doesn't make him a bad person just because he's ugly, right?
Hmm. That's a good point. Alas.
Alas. Yeah.
I mean, whether or not he's a bad guy is actually kind of up for debate. I mean, you know, he maybe doesn't spare every innocent he could, but he's not rampaging. He's not, you know.
Let's save this for the next episode.
Let's save it. Yeah.
Okay, because all we've seen him do is kill 3 guys who are possibly murderous bad dudes.
Yeah. The only other thing from episode 1 that I remember was the junk jet.
Yes.
which is a weapon that you can just shoot whatever crap you're carrying. Because you can carry lots of crap.
It was so neat. Just a baby like sticking out of this dude's chest.
It's awesome.
What the fuck? Just got killed by a doll's leg.
It was great.
I really loved that first scene, though, where they were setting up the world. Like, the nukes going off was awesome. Like, him on the horse with his daughter, like, riding off in slow-mo, and everybody is, like, dashing for their Fallout shelters and fighting over who gets to go in. That was pretty intense.
It really was.
And it's just such a good scene.
And what's fun about it, and, you know, there's some background game knowledge, but some people were ghouls from back in the day, from, like, the initial bombs falling. And then some people are ghoulified later due to radiation exposure. Mm-hmm. And in the like promo material for the TV show, he's wearing a yellow like duster / rain jacket or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like a salesman for Vault-Tec in the promo commercials for the show.
Oh, interesting.
And that he looked exactly like the guy from Fallout 4. At like the beginning of the game, this guy comes by your house trying to get you to sign up for a vault. And then you see the same guy later, you know, 200 change years later, wearing the same yellow coat somehow, but now he's a ghoul. So somehow his coat survived those centuries. And I thought they were going to do that with this, but he's, from what we can tell, I think he's not like a Vault-Tec salesperson. Certainly not like door-to-door sales, you know, selling vault seats.
Yeah, he looked like he was an actor or something, some kind of celebrity.
Yeah.
Fallen on hard times.
Exactly.
I love the whole, like, what is the thumbs up thing, daddy? He's like, I'm not going to tell you, it's terrible. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll tell you. We're all going to die. the government told us if you can cover it, then run for the hills. And if you can't cover it, don't bother running. Maybe just kill yourself. I was like, damn, that's bleak.
Yeah, shit gets real.
It was so cool the way they, like, just had in the background people talking about the impending nuclear war and how everyone was kind of like on edge about it, but also trying not to think about it. And I don't know, it was a really great first scene.
Yeah, I want to watch it again. I remember it being surprisingly harrowing. You know, nuclear holocaust has always been one of those, emotional buttons for me. They land it really well in this, right?
Yeah.
It's sudden and the world is ending. Yeah.
One last thing before we go.
You bet.
A scene that really stuck out to me from that first intro when we're introduced to him. When the bombs are going off, there's one of the guy, I think the guy whose house the birthday party is taking place at, like flings open his bomb shelter doors and he's ushering his family down. And like one of the guests tries to come in and he just like wails into him. He's fighting him. He punches him in the face, like, get the fuck out of here. This is my fallout shelter. What do you think about him doing that? Because I'm oddly torn on it.
Oh, man. It's a conundrum. I mean, it's hard to say what I would do in this situation. You know, like, you always want to put you and yours first, you know?
Yeah.
But then presumably you're inviting friends to the party, you know? So, like, this isn't some stranger, unless it's like a plus one. The thing is like, if I had a panic room that could sustain me and my wife for a month, that means that I could add another person and it would cut our time dramatically, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if the world has ended, is that extra week going to make a difference? Like, maybe, maybe not. But then, of course, if he lets one guy in, then everyone else is going to try and come in. And it's like, all right, now our food is going to be gone in 2 days.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see where he's coming from, but... It does kind of just show how, well, I mean, and I don't really remember the scene that well, but I'm imagining that right before this, the guy was perfectly amiable and so the transformation of immediately how everyone goes to barbarism, the second that shit hits the wind, like it nicely foreshadows how bad the wasteland is going to be. Right.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would actually invite their neighbors and their friends down into the fallout shelter with them.
I think so too, unless you'd only, stocked it just, earlier and there wasn't enough, but...
I know, but I mean...
But so, then, what do you do? Turn people away? Like, you're right. I don't know if the average person would do that.
Yeah. Also, every person is a resource, right? Like, that's more people you can use to go exploring and gathering afterwards, because... If it's his little underneath the house shelter, it's not good. It's not good for like years, you know.
Unless it's one of those they did make those cool ones in the '60s, you know, or yeah, I guess '60s through ones... later. But you know, they'd be the size of like whatever a few storage containers, where it could theoretically have years worth of spam or whatever on the shelves, you know. I guess I'm not sure what they expect to be able to go back out when they can go back outside. Honestly, I'm not really sure either. Like, I know that a nuclear bomb going off 1,000 miles away isn't as big of a catastrophe as like we were maybe raised to believe it would be.
Yeah.
But one going off close enough that it blows your windows out, it might not be safe to leave the house for a while. So
I believe I heard something like the majority, more than half of the fallout settles within the first 2-3 days.
Yeah. And then a lot of it later is just blown away in the next couple of weeks. Things reduced to survivable levels pretty quickly.
Right. Levels where you're definitely going to get cancer and die early, but you're not going to die of radiation poisoning in the next couple weeks.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would certainly like to think that I would let people in, but imagine if this was the size, did you ever see the movie Panic Room? Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
Yeah. So,
highly recommended.
Yeah. Same. I love it. That's what gave me my hard on for Panic Rooms that I've had ever since. But if my family survival bunker was about the size of like whatever, half the size of my bedroom, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, am I really going to invite like 5 more people in here? There's 3 beds.
Right.
So there's like a pragmatic concern, but I would love to let everybody in. It's just, I'm trying to give the guy some credit. I can't remember who it was. I'll watch that scene again.
Yeah, it was just some NPC.
Yeah.
It'd be really hard. I don't necessarily blame him that much.
That's the thing is, it's certainly not praiseworthy, but I don't know if I can call him a moral monster for doing it either.
I can say that it was bad,
yeah,
but not like monstrously bad.
Yeah, it wouldn't get him, it would give him negative karma if he was playing the game, right? All right, well, you want to leave it here for the week?
Yeah, I think that's good. This was a lot of fun.
All right, well, I liked your overly ambitious estimate of 15 minutes. We'll trim it down a little bit, though.
Fallout in 40.
Sounds good, man. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Okay, bye. I'm in love with a wonderful guy. No more a smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. Yeah, as the master of editor guy, you can totally put whatever you want at the top.
I can do whatever I want.
Oh, dear.
All right.
You're going to make me say really bad stuff.
Yep.
You're very good at turning me on.
Sound check. Can you just say Hitler did nothing wrong really quick?
Hitler did nothing wrong. Does that work?
There's a chance that goes in at the end. We'll see.
Oh, no.
All right. Ready when you are.